the Ulysses, man's greatest achievement. A ship capable of traveling to distant galaxies. But a freak accident leaves the ship helpless. Its AI, damaged, dangerous, plays a deadly game with the two surviving members of the crew. If they indulge the machine's newfound passion for science fiction and fantasy trivia, it will permit limited access to the astrogation matrix in Star Drive. For astronauts Clive Ashenden and Rob Wickens, the choice is clear. If they ever want to see Earth again, they must define the A to Z of SFF.
A is for Avengers, the 1998 movie. Continue.
Oh, Lord. The
1998. What a special joy.
No, I can't be dishonest about this, can I? The 1998 Avengers movie is quite commonly considered to be one of those real missed opportunities.
Let's be clear. This is not one of the Marvel Avengers movies. This is a updating stroke.
Dare we
rebooting,
say, reimagining,
reimagining of the 1960s BBC television series.
ATV, wasn't it? It was on ITV.
Oh, beg your pardon. Yeah. The British television series.
The British television series. Fondly remembered, real cult stuff. So it was with a mixture of trepidation and excitement that people became aware of the fact that there was finally a big movie adaptation of said franchise. Starring Ralph Fiennes as John Steed, with Uma Thurman as Emma Peel, and Sean Connery in one of his last film roles as the evil Sir August Winter.
August de Winter, yes.
August de Winter. And, well, what can we say about it, really?
It's a thing.
It's a thing. The problem with it is that it just comes across as generic studio product. It just doesn't really feel like something with the kind of the sass and the zing and the interest of the Avengers TV series at all. It just feels a bit underwhelming is the word that kept springing to mind as I was watching it.
Yeah, it's directed by Jeremiah Chechik, the Canadian director of some studio comedies, directed Christmas Vacation and Benny and June, which is a sort of charming rom-com with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And he also had form for remaking classic Bear from the Past, where he did the reboot of Les Diaboliques. He did the Sharon Stone.
Oh, right. I was not aware of that one. That wasn't too bad from what I recall.
So he's coming into this. He's sort of quite a hot director. The writer thing, he wrote the screen adaptation of Absolute Beginners, and the Liam Neeson boxing vehicle, The Big Man, and then much later, after the Avengers, he wrote The Gunman for Sean Penn.
So
you've got a British writer, and I think if you sort of almost like divorce it from if you try and divorce the script from the actual movie, I think you could see what they were trying to go for. The plot itself is pretty silly, but then a lot of the plots to the TV series were, on the face of it, silly. It's how they were treated.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
So we explain that Sir August de Winter, he is one of the people who's part of developing this weather shield for the British Isles, And then he gets thrown off the project. So in a sort of, I was really hazy on his whole motivation here.
A fit of pique, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, the fit of pique stroke because he's evil, decided to sort of hijack the sort of weather satellite technology that's doing this in order to hold the British government to ransom, stroke the world. Although it seemed pretty kind of sort of small scale, his ambitions there. But so the idea is that he would sort of threaten to bring down hurricanes, tidal waves, all this sort of, all the worst that weather can bring.
Which again, sounds quite cool, really, doesn't it? Sounds like it could be really interesting, but nothing really seems to come of it. I never really felt that there was any kind of major risk as to what was going on.
Yeah, at one stage, our heroes have to battle against some strong winds. correct if I'm wrong, but there wasn't much more than that, was there? I mean, there was some heavy rain as well.
But we struggle with solar winds on a regular basis here that are much worse than what Steed and Peel face here.
Yes. So the sort of the plot engine behind it could have come from like a 60s episode itself, and you know there are some occasional sort of bon mots which between Steed and Peel where you sort of you see what they were going for, but it just doesn't really fly because the chemistry's not there, is it?
No, exactly. That was one thing that really struck me as well. There's no sense of the playfulness or the teasing or the strange air between the two leads at all. There's absolutely zero chemistry there. I don't know whether that was simple miscasting. Certainly, Ralph Fiennes is pretty much of the same age as Uma Thurman. So there's none of this sort of elder gentleman and sort of younger assistant stroke sidekick.
Yeah, I don't know. Perhaps it's partly because in the 60s there was a certain amount of it being sexy because they didn't actually do anything. It was all intimated. It's all kind of in the look.
Yeah, it's nods and winks and things like that, really, isn't it?
Where in this one, you've got things like her encountering Steed in the buff, and then they have a passionate, well, stroke in quotes, passionate kiss at the end. Yeah, because otherwise we wouldn't have understood that there was any attraction between them. I guess it's kind of puzzling because the elements do all seem to be there. It's strange. I mean, if you watch any episodes of the Avengers, especially from the Emma Peel era, the ones produced by like Brian Clemens, they have a lightness of touch which this conspicuously lacks. No. They also consistently, no matter how kind of silly the sort of plot engine, they play the villains straight. So you know that in separate scenes to the ones where our heroes are lightly bantering and sort of going about finding out what's going on behind this mysterious development, you know, why these scientists are disappearing, why this thing has happened. At the same time as that, you actually have the sort of the quote unquote bad guys actually being bad and not. Whereas in this, we have kind of, we've got these sort of villains that could be out of like 1960s Batman.
Yeah, everything's played for laughs, really. Everything's played to be a bit wacky and a bit zany. And there's again, that sort of leads to the whole sort of thing that there's no sense of threat there. There's no sense of danger. There's no sense of any risk at all. It's just kind of, Batman 66 is actually a fair comparison. It's that sort of, it's almost that level of camp in places.
Yes, I mean, especially with Eddie Izzard and the Happy Mondays, Sean Ryder, as the two kind of henchmen in chief. It's a slightly strange cast, but it's frustrating because you've got good people in there you feel being a bit wasted. Like Jim Broadbent actually sort of manages to sort of hold some kind of centre to it in the scenes he's in as Mother, the sort of spy master. And Fiona Shaw, in the scenes she's playing opposite him, I think is good, but in the other scenes, it goes very pantomime. But then that's almost what the script asks of her. And as for Sean Connery, I don't know what to say, really. It doesn't work, does it?
It's just phoning it in. He's so obviously in it for the money on this one. You almost wonder why he was in it for the money. That's why he bothered. But that's it. There's no sense of him being remotely interested in what's going on at all.
In one sense, the idea of having the sort of the original James Bond play essentially a James Bond villain in what is kind of a bit of a James Bond, a Bond type pastiche, at least in terms of the film, it is on the face of it a really good idea. You know, it would, you know, bring a certain level of irony to it, but it's a one kind of monologue aside, he's not really given that much to do, is he?
No, not really. And well, I mean, The Avengers, along with The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, were the two movies that are cited as the reasons that he pretty much gave up appearing on cinema. And I just wonder if he was kind of already bored with the prospect when he was doing The Avengers, and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was kind of the last straw. Because he just doesn't seem that bothered at all.
Maybe it was when he had to dress up as a giant teddy bear, and he just looked in the sort of mirror and then just sort of like sighed, you know, and just thought, I don't really want to do this anymore.
See, the giant teddy bear bit is the one bit that actually feels properly sort of odd and surreal and interesting, and that and the very first sequence with Ralph Fiennes doing his little training run through the village with, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are several sort of nods to sort of old, you know, you might almost call them kind of quotations from certain old episodes. Apparently, that training exercise is a sort of a bit from the new Avengers that they've sort of referenced. I mean, in a bid to say something positive about this film, I'm going to highlight the sort of the production design by Stuart Craig, who and his team, who basically did all the Harry Potter films, which is absolutely fantastic, and is kind of, when you picture what a big budget version of the Avengers will look like, it looks like this film, you know, it really lovely stuff. And some, as you say, some sort of surreal imagery, and also the costume design from Anthony Powell, who did who worked with Spielberg on Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom, and The Last Crusade. I think all of that, all of that stuff works really well. So, and that's kind of, and the rest of it doesn't. I think this has maybe one of the ugliest looking title sequences I've ever seen in a film. I mean, it manages to be both very 1990s and really ugly and not really tell you anything about the film at all. And yet this is sort of supposed to get us excited about the film. It's just sort of muddy. The graphics are kind of everywhere. I think there's supposed to be this idea to sort of have the figure of sort of Connery come up as, there's almost be like a sort of god of the weather, but they just can't get there. The graphics aren't there yet. I just don't know who storyboarded this. It just seems to be all over the shop.
I was reminded a little bit of the titles of stuff like Lost in Space as well. It's got that same sort of thing with the weird sort of titles that bop in and out and billow around. And there's many different versions of it and all sort of whiz together. And
Yeah, it is very much that sort of 90s action title sequence that it's just, like you say, it's just ugly and doesn't really do anything.
Lost in Space is a good comparison in that it's, you know, again, another 90s big screen adaptation of a well-loved 60s television show, which was also not very good and was and bombed at the box office.
Yeah, that's about it, really, isn't it? We're sort of just, I think the general feeling you get from walking away from the Avengers is just, well, so what, really? And that's a real shame. That's not something that you should have from something that's got that sort of potential to be just fun, exciting, a nod back to that classic 60s series. And this is just flat and dull and just a bit damp, much like the English weather, really. So maybe that's what they're after all along.
Yeah, the climax of the film is particularly kind of disappointing, I think. There are some sort of strange, surreal moments which do feel like they're out of the TV series and work, but then there are other ones where it's just that the attack by the sort of robot wasps, you know, really fitted in anywhere. It just was like, we need a bit here where they get menaced. It just sort of seems strange. But then a lot of the choices in this adaptations seem strange. Eileen Atkins, I think, is very good in her scenes, but we're really clutching at straws here because when the central dynamic doesn't really work, and there's no real threat from the villains, and also the stakes never really feel very real. I don't know what an American audience must have thought of this, especially if they weren't really familiar with the source material. I know it did sort of run, I think, on ABC over there, but it just seems that they'd probably be watching this. Well, why should we care if a crazy Scott wants to sort of blackmail the British government because he's gonna make it rain more? It seemed very odd.
And is it possible for it to rain anymore in England? More to the point. Okay, let's ask our psychotic AI friend whether that's enough, because frankly, we've both had enough of this particular item. What say you, Cyclomedia? Have we given you what you need for the Avengers?
Input satisfactory.
Good. Well, I'm glad the input is, because the movie definitely wasn't. All right, Clive, fire her up. Let's get out of here.
Okay, keying it in now. 3, 2, 1,
and we're off. And no more Avengers, please.
The A to Z of SFF was written and performed by Rob Wickings and Clive Ashenden. The show was produced and edited by Rob Wickings at All Hallows Post of Reading, the finest sound available anywhere. Would you like to know more? Go to www.theatozofsff.com. Like us on Facebook as The A to Z of SFF, or follow us on Twitter at The A to Z of SFF.